Sunday morning, Arkanita Meya, Women's Learning, the vision of Adas Yeshurin, learning Parshas Mishpatim. Learning Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, now, I'd like to begin with a famous kasha. And I'd like to give a teretz on this kasha. This kasha is asked by the Ramban. Ramban wants to know, and we start off Parshas Mishpatim. V'eila ha-Mishpatim. Rashi says, V'eila, we're connected back to Aseres HaDibris, and Klal Yisrael just received the Torah, and Nasa V'Nishma, and everything else that's happening. So why in the world do we start off with the Parsha of Avodim? Why do we start off with the Parsha of Avodim? Avodim is something we don't really want. The whole matzav is b'di'eved, and Eved Ivri means a Jew who Rachmana Litzlan stole and ran out of money, or he ran out of money because of whatever else he was doing. So why do we start off with Avdus? Why do we start off with Avdus? The Ramban gives several answers to the question about why we start off with Avdus, and many people answered this question. Why should we start off with the Dinam of Avodim? He says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, so it's connected back to the Aseres HaDibris. He says, Avodim go out free after 7 years, the seventh year, not to be confused with Shemitah. They go out after 6 years, which is the seventh year, which is connected to Shabbos. And he says, Memelech it's seven, and there are 7 days in a week, and there are 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, and there are seven Shemitahs in a Yovel cycle. And Memelech, he says, it's all to remind us and to connect us back to the Aseres HaDibris and to Shabbos. I would like to say a different teretz. And this teretz is connected to Chosh and Mishpat. And since this is the week of Chizuk for the Chosh and Mishpat, I'd like to say something connected to Chosh and Mishpat. There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch which consumes a big part of Shulchan Aruch. It's called Hilchas Schiras Poyalim, hiring workers. Hiring workers, Schiras Poyalim, hiring workers. This halacha is found in two places in Shulchan Aruch. One place is in Hilchas Chosh and Mishpat. And that is when a person says they are working for somebody. And then in Hilchas Shabbos, when you hire a person, and that person is going to end up working on Shabbos. Okay? Those are two halachas. I'd like to mention the halacha of what happens when a person says yes. Person says yes to working on Shabbos. Well, what happens to that person when he says yes to working on Shabbos? You work?
I do.
You work. You are an employee? Mm-hmm. And you were an employee for many years? Are you presently an employee? Are you an employee?
Yes.
And you're an employee? Okay, so all of you here are employees or were employees. I'm also an employee. A rav is a poyel, unless you own your own shul. A rav is a poyel. What's the halacha of a poyel in the time of Shulchan Aruch, 500 years ago? On the time of Chazal. I'll tell you what the halacha is. The first halacha is that a poyel has to leave his house at sunrise. So the Achrayim and the Gemara say you have to leave your house at sunrise. That's a raya that you can't daven l'chadchila. Because l'chadchila, a person's supposed to daven with sunrise or after sunrise. Davening before sunrise is b'di'evit. Number one. Number two. The Gemara says that a poyel, unbelievably, a poyel cannot bench regular benching. He combines the second and third bracha benching into one bracha. He skips the fourth bracha in benching. A poyel cannot take off on Erev Shabbos to go home and prepare for Shabbos. What was the temperature when you got here?
Eight.
It's Florida. 880 is all the same. Under zero was a problem. Anyways, so Lemaisa, a poyel cannot leave his job early in order to prepare. As a matter of fact, Aloha says a poyel can leave his job in time to get home to fill a barrel or barrels of water and fry a fish. And the shiloh if it's a big fish or a little fish. Yeah, it is. A woman once asked me in Congregation of Adas Yeshurin to write her a letter. She wanted me to write a letter to her boss. in which I should state that she, for religious reasons, has to leave her job every Friday at 2 o'clock. So I can't write such a letter. I can't write a letter. When Shkia is 8:20, Shkia gets to be 8:31 in Chicago now. Once we entered the 21st century, when I first moved here, Shkia was only 8:29, then it changed to 8:31. I'm allowed to write to an employer that she has to leave her employment at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon because of Shabbos. Can't write such a thing. I can barely write it when Shkia, which is now the earliest Shkia, is 4:19. You can come home from downtown at 2 o'clock and be home at 4:19 if you leave your office. Maybe it's not so geschmack. What does it do with halacha? I, as a rabbi, am writing to a non-Jew, dictating to the non-Jewish employer that she has to leave her office at 2 o'clock because of religious reasons. So I can't do it.
You didn't win any brownie points there.
I did in Shemayim. I didn't do it. Maybe not here. I did what I asked to do. I told the Echveis, whatever, many people who are employees, most of the shul, many people who are shul employees, they don't leave their work early. There's a whole bunch of different trains that they take that they'll get them over here and they get home. What's coming on? Mr. Brewer says, if you're a pilot, it's a good idea to be able to talk to your boss to get off Friday afternoon. Okay, good. Not everybody gets that. I've heard many stories about people who have gotten that, but not everybody gets it. Okay, so then there's another halacha. So now we talked about davening, about benching, about Shabbos. What happens if Moshe Feinstein walks into your office? Halacha is, you're not allowed to get up. Moshe Feinstein? No, let's stand up. You're a pile. Can't stand up for Moshe Feinstein. Matter of fact, one of the members of the Kohl here, his father-in-law went to Ezra's Torah's office. And he found a friend there he hadn't seen in many years. I don't know, from before the war, after the war. He started schmoozing with him. And Rav Henkin, the Gadol Hador, the Pesach Hador, comes out of his office and says to this Talmud Chacham, who's talking to another Talmud Chacham, Ezra Poyo, what's this to do? It's not a joke. Poyo. So nowadays, when you think about it, when you go to yeshiva, you have the tendency for bittul. With the government laws and this and that, we all battle everything. A lot of laws, since we've been learning Chayshah Mishpat, I've gained a tremendous amount of respect for law. Even secular law. And I'll give you an example. There was a period in time in the United States of America, pre-labor law, where employers took advantage of the laborers. There were fires on the Lower East Side of New York where people died. Hundreds of people died because the working conditions were horrific. And because of things that happened, laws were created. In Boston, there was a very famous incident. It was not employee-employer. That, a small thing. All buildings, the doors push out. You know why? Because there was a fire in Boston. 400 people died because the door came in. And there was a crush at the door. Nobody could get out. Simple thing. All doors in all public buildings go out. Private homes, they go in. Must go out. A lot of laws became, I once spoke in Borough Park, I think there were 1,500 people there. And Rabbi Tursky, the lawyer, Aaron Tursky, Rabbi Dr. Aaron Tursky was there. He was like the MC, and I always spoke about Chayshah Mishpat. So I said something, and then he got up afterwards, and he said, do you know the law, and he's a product liability, one of the biggest experts in the country, if not the world. And he said, the law that nowadays, when a woman gives birth and she leaves the hospital, you must have a car seat. You have a car seat? Don't let you leave. Okay. Not when I was born. Not when my kids were born. So he got up, and he said, das ist nicht ein antisemitische Gesetz. You know what that means? It's not an anti-Semitic rule. They didn't make this rule because they hate Jews. They made a rule because car seats save lives. I grew up without seatbelts. I wore a seatbelt my life. There were no seatbelts in cars. I used to make cars without seatbelts. Cow truck. I'm bouncing up and down on a cow truck of my uncle's. Seatbelts. My uncle was reading the newspaper as he was driving down these dirt roads in with cows in the back. What? It was not. Right? So, a pile's not a joke. A pile's not a joke. The Sifurno says in Parshas Bo, somebody showed me, unbelievable Sifurno. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? First mitzvah given to the Jewish people, as a people. What's the first mitzvah? Oh, come on. Parshas Bo. HaChodesh Elohim, Meshchad Hashem. Zok the Sifurno, you know why? Because Ad Kan, you're an Eved. And an Eved doesn't own his time. Now you're free. You take care of time. What an unbelievable thing. An Eved means you don't have time. You're not the boss of your time. Boss tells you the Baal tells you to jump, you jump. That's an Eved. A poil is a poil. Poil's a poil. Unbelievable concept. A poil. Now we have a responsibility to be an Eved. We are Avodim. Who are we Avodim to? Hashem. Right? Avinu, Malkeinu, he's the Melech. We're his subjects, we're his Avodim, right? Kiyanu Avdecho, right? Right? We're Avodim. One of the things, we have multiple layer relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the relationships we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we are his Avodim. As a matter of fact, we have a Vad that meets in this room on Thursday nights. We have a Kabbalah that once a day you should say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech, I'm the Avod. Okay, so now comes along, I'd like to tell you two or three Maisim. Now, there's one book written by about Rabbi Yashiv from Art Scroll, which is a very scary book. It's about Rabbi Yashiv learning all day, all night. I told the author, yes, you have to put a disclaimer in the front of the book, that this book has no shaykhus to normal human beings. No shaykhus, his relationship with his wife, the whole thing, like no shaykhus. Unbelievable book, but no shaykhus. Then they put another book. Now they put a third book. So I'm in the middle of that with a second book. This is the second book, The Gadol Hador. So in this book, it's unbelievable maestro. It's a pelvic maestro. It says like this. I mean, again, most of the maestro of Yashiv in all the books is, you know, he's just as a smother. But here it goes. Towards the end of his life, okay, he's in his 90s. He died 101 and a half, so he's in his 90s. They took an x-ray. For whatever the reason is, he had to take an x-ray. He took an x-ray. And there was a specialist in Eretz Yisrael from Russia. I'm assuming it was not Froom. I'm assuming so. You'll see why in a minute. And they brought him to Rabbi Yashiv to examine Rabbi Yashiv in his house. So he comes into the house. And there's Rabbi Yashiv sitting at the table, Kedarko, hunched over a Gemara. That's the words here, hunched over a Gemara. So the doctor walks in. So he says, he sees Rabbi Yashiv, and he says, where's the patient? That's not assuming he was not from, I mean, Rabbi Yashiv's pictures all over the world. He said, okay, where's the patient? So he points to Rabbi Yashiv. So he says, impossible. Can't be the patient. So what do you mean he can't be the patient? He says, look, I studied his x-rays. I looked at his x-rays. From his x-rays, he has to be in such excruciating pain that he has to be in bed. It's not shaykh that that's the patient sitting at the table looking over a Gemara. It's not shaykh. I said, listen, that's Rabbi Yashiv. So he goes over to Rabbi Yashiv. He says something like this. Do you have any back pain? Yashiv says, avada. Absolutely is a word in English. Whole family. Doctor says you should be in bed in such excruciating pain, and you're sitting by the Gemara. What's So the author says, I take no responsibility for this line. The author says, Yashiv was not only the Gadol Hador in Torah, he was the Gadol Hador in Yisurim. Gadol Hador in Yisurim. Now, it's a pacha to say the following line. Yashiv had 11 children, 12, 6 of them died before he died. 6 of his children. Pella. So, what's the pshat here? What's the pshat? I would like to tell you pshat. Well, what is the pshat in this maysa? I know I once read about Rishlom Zalman, that somebody came to Rishlom Zalman and told me he doesn't feel well, this pain, that pain. Somebody's very close to him. Very close to him. So Rishlom Zalman told this person, his Talmud, he said, do you ever hear me complain about pain? He said, this is like, you know, way up there, you know. Pain. I'm wondering. Rebbe Yashiv is an Eved. Now I told you, I think I told you. I've said it other places, may I say, I think I said it to you. The most incredible hesped I heard in Rebbe Yashiv, I heard many of them, was a very short one line from his famous son-in-law, Silverson. You know, remember what the hesped was? Rebbe Yashiv did not own slippers. What's Gavali? I want to tell you what's Gavali about that. You ready? You know what that means, Rabbi Yashiv? You know, this is what Rabbi Yashiv said. You ever get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to learn from 2:30 to 6:30? You never did? I can't believe it. But you're wimps around there. Now, Rabbi Yashiv got up every morning, whatever time, 2 o'clock. He was learning by 2:30, 2:30 to 6, 2:30 to 6:30 every night. Okay? Now, I've never done that. To get up at 2 o'clock to go learn, okay, so learn from 2:30 to 6 every night. I can hear a person doing it. I can hear it, but this I cannot hear. With your shoes on, no way. There's no way to get up and put on your regular clothing. When I come home, before I'm 3 feet in the door, my tie's off, my hat's off, my shirt's out, and my shoes are off. It's no way, I can't. It's torture for me to walk around with a suit and tie. I can't stand it. Okay, what should I do? You know, that's what I gotta do. It's my part of my uniform. Right? I'm a poil, so I have to wear this uniform. Right? To wear slippers, not to own slippers. I said this many places around the country recently. I know most thing. I don't know what it means. But I'll tell you what it means. It means he's an Eved. He's an Eved. Rabbi Zilberstein said he's an Eved. He's in uniform. He's a soldat. Whatever term you want to use that makes it easier to comprehend. And Mamela is a soldat. I'm going to be at that table learning. I got back pain. I'm getting to the table. That's not shaykh. It's not shaykh to understand. Okay, so it's 1967. It's in Eretz Yisrael. You ever been to a bomb shelter? Bomb shelter? I was never in a bomb shelter. Maybe I once visited somebody and they showed me their bomb shelter. I don't remember. I was never in a bomb shelter where they were shooting bombs. That's for sure not. Okay, so it's 67. Bombs are falling all over the place. And Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Everybody's in the bomb shelters. Okay? There was holes in the rooftops afterwards they discovered. The bombs were falling all over the place. Yerushalayim. Fighting did not let up the entire night. Who could sleep? Everyone was terrified amidst all the panic and ear-splitting noise. Says Reb Moshe El Yashiv, one of the sons of Reb Yashiv was very close with him. Says Reb Moshe El Yashiv, amidst all the panic and ear-splitting noise, my father turned to me and told me an interesting insight in the Rambam. He began by explaining the Gemara. Then he asked a question on it. Then he showed the Rambam explains the Gemara. All the while, this I can relate to. All the while that my father was speaking to me and learning, we could hear the missiles flying through the air, and no one knew where they were going to land. My father continued explaining the passage, oblivious to everything around him. I could barely pay attention to him. I myself was terrified by the commotion of the shooting of missiles. I feared any minute our building was going to collapse. It was then that I witnessed with my own eyes how the Torah was so embedded in my father that nothing else fazed. And Rabbi Yashiv is trying to say, Gemara, Akasha, Ateris, Mails Mishav Daram, and the son is saying, I don't know what she's talking about. I can't listen to a word he's saying. So I want to tell you what this means. In the bomb shelter, okay, the Israeli government said, no electricity. They were too frightened. Okay? You want to agree with them, disagree with them, I was just state. Okay? No electricity. Not allowed to use electricity as a safety measure. It was literally pitch black until someone brought candles for my father. From that moment on, we all watched and were mesmerized at his incredible Amelis Batayra, which had resumed as usual. You ever read by candlelight? You ever learn by candlelight? You ever learn by flashlight? So I will tell you that once in the Kail, your grandfather, Rabbi Krasno, Rabbi Zoyman, Rabbi Hirschberg, and Rabbi Newman, all in Olam Emes, these four Sheikhtim were learning together when we came to Chicago. And then when the Koilo moved from Rabbi Small Shul to its present location, it did not move with us. They said we made too much noise, and young people jumping all over the place screaming. And then a week later, they all came. They missed us. They all came. So one day I'm there, Rabbi Zoyman, who has lived the longest, he died recently, he was 100 years old. I once came in, I don't know if I came first or he came first. Anyways, we were there alone in the building. So all of a sudden he looks up, he says, lights! Lights! Air conditioning! Bottom of chumma! At night, we went with candles. The candles went out, went to bed. In a bomb shelter, with bombs, no electricity, a bunch of people, some are screaming kids, and they're bringing candles. He's just there learning. It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh to comprehend. Not shaykh to comprehend. Okay, so then I want to tell you. I want to conclude with the following two things, but I think it's moiridic. I read about Rabbi Yashiv, and I read about Rabbi Yosef. You ever live in Eretz Yisrael? My mother-in-law lived in Eretz Yisrael. You ever live in Eretz Yisrael? You ever live in Eretz Yisrael? You ever saw what it's like to be in Eretz Yisrael during election times?
Oh, my gosh.
Election times. And she's talking from, I don't want to say how many years ago. Nowadays, it's mamish, it's all-consuming. Let's leave it like that without any other adjectives. Okay, now it's all-consuming. Rabbi Yashiv is head of the entire Yeshiva Shevelt. And who's going to run? Who's not going to run? What tickets and this? They got some ice. Okay? Rabbi Yosef. Whole Sephardi belt, right? He's even more involved, right? Okay, so it was not the same election, but the same mice. It's unbelievable. So Rabbi Yashiv went to sleep 11 o'clock at night to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to start learning again. So he went to sleep 11 o'clock at night. The election results were not in yet. Yeah, the whole tumult, incomprehensible. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up and the election results were in. So the Einikol, who was in charge then, when he got up to be ready to help him, says, Zayden! I forgot how you say the elections over there, what the word is in the writ. Bichirot. Achshav hazman lumoid. I don't want to hear. The whole world is tumbling. And he made all the decisions of what should happen. The results were not in 11 o'clock, the results were in at 2 o'clock. He wakes up, just tell me the name. Who? I don't want to hear. Site to learn. Everybody accepted the same thing. Now, there's a big tumult in Eretz Yisrael very often about graves. You know, wherever you dig, you find graves, and the tumult, the graves, goyim, or yidden, or whatever, and the different halachas that the goyim. So, we actually paskin on certain graves that they found. Don't ask me how we paskin, but he paskin that the graves belong to goyim. Other people then demonstrated, Kanoyim, said, well, Rabbi Yashiv was wrong, and I made demonstrations that they're really Jewish graves. So Rabbi Yashiv was sitting in his house, and one of his gaboyim run in and say, it's in English here, the people who have been claiming all along that the graves are Jewish ancestral graves, they're wrong. Because they just found that as Yashka, that Salem, they found something that is clearly not Jewish graves. It was Jewish graves. Then the guy added, who knows if these Gentile graves are indeed the graves of their forefathers? Because, in other words, he was saying that these Kanoim who are fighting against Rabbi Yashka, maybe they come from Goy. Rabbi Yashka didn't say a word. Person left Rabbi Yashka, he used to learn with a niggin. So, and he was learning with a niggin, then he continued and he said, Nebuch enemtos some hearts. He takes all these things to heart. Rabbi Yashiv said, the general rule in life, any tzara or affliction of any kind that I have ever encountered is not allowed to penetrate my heart, whose space is reserved only for Torah and mitzvahs and avodas Hashem. It's incomprehensible. Now I like to put them all together. I think Mishpatim starts off with the Parsha of Avodim, because after Klal Yisrael got the Aseres Hadibros, now we have a definition. Remember, you are Avodim. You're Avodim. What's an Eved? An Eved is a person who works for somebody else. How much? 24/7. An Eved is 24/7. An Eved is 24/7. What's a real Eved? A person who can subjugate himself completely to his Odin. What's a real Eved? A person who at 98 can get out of bed at 2:15 a.m. and sit down by a Gemara where a doctor says it's impossible for him to sit, let alone learn. You ever learn when it's hot? Can't learn. You got to totally be a good thing. You ever learn when it's cold? Can't learn. At my seat, I have my house. I have a fan and a heater. Bang, blasting the fan on me and blasting the heater, whatever. You know, whatever. That's besides what it's heating. You know, without any shoes on. I mean, there's no way. I know Yashua was sitting there, crunched over the Gemara. He's not eating. He doesn't have air conditioning. He doesn't have the heater on. He's learning with his shoes on. Incredible back pain. It's an incompetence. That's Mishpatim. Mishpatim starts off with an Eved because our job is to be Avodim to Hashem. That's our job, to be Avodim to Hashem. That's what we're here for. Oivdei Hashem and Avdei Hashem. Serve Hashem and servants of Hashem. That's who we are. Awesome. Want to hear a secret, Rabbi Say? It makes no difference if you're a man or a woman. No difference. You may have different things to do during the time you have to do them. But it makes no difference, a man or a woman. It makes no difference. What an awesome concept. So, Eilam Mishpatim, Shetosim of Nayim, Ki Sikna Eved Ivri. When you acquire an Eved Ivri, is that an Eved Ivri? What's an Eved Ivri? An Eved to a Jew, so we're an Eved to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. An Eved Ivri. I saw this man a lot of times in my lifetime. What a bracha. Not shaykh. Okay, next Sunday morning, B'ez Hashem, we're on. I am taking a moment to invite you this evening. You don't have to come, but it'll be a chizuk. Anybody like to come? We have an evening of inspiration by people who will be speaking about how to keep your money kosher. How to keep your money kosher. It'll be a big chizuk to Mrs. Stolper if people come. Okay, we're stopping here. Hatzlach HaRabah.